Many of you will know much more about this topic, this initial topic, than I do, but I'm fascinated by it. There is something relatively new in the area of technology, and it is called a 3D printer. Now, I have read where these printers, which I think of as something that puts words on a page, these printers can produce model cars, cell phone cases, replacement knobs for appliances, even prosthetic devices for use by humans. They are beginning to call these printers personal fabrication tools because they take digital designs, something that you put on your computer, and they print them out layer by layer with special inks until you have a three-dimensional object from a printer. Now, the word printer is what throws me off. I hear that word and I envision words being put on a page that flat, not something with three dimensions, which can actually be put to use in the real world. I fear that we wander into the same lack of understanding when we think about the Word of God. We have all seen those words on a flat page, and I always wondered, as I was getting more interested in the church, I always wondered why we worshiped words on a flat page. But we don't worship printed words. We worship the Word of God incarnate in Jesus. We marvel at what we once thought of as something on a flat page that comes to life in three dimensions in human flesh and blood. The apostles had heard the words. They had heard Jesus say, "The Son of Man will be handed over and they will condemn him to death. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days he will rise again." But they were just words. And certainly in moments of fear, they couldn't even remember them. They didn't want to hear them at the time. But the meaning of those simple words came to life in the risen Christ. Now, here in today's second gospel, thanks be to God, we have the disciple Thomas. Even people who don't have any church background at all know the phrase "doubting Thomas." The poor guy, he gets a bad rep. That's all we know about it. We think about him as the one who didn't have the faith that the others had. But the others had seen Jesus. He hadn't seen him in 3D yet. He needed to see the spoken and written promise of the faith manifested in three dimensions, in living, breathing, wounded human flesh. Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." There's no indication of whether Thomas actually touched him or not. But he was given permission to see that flat, abstract, proclaimed word of God come back to life in real, three-dimensional life. When Jesus appeared to them, he also used words that would have to take shape later in human flesh. He not only spoke of forgiveness, but he showed forgiveness in real human experience. This was a real person, Jesus, who was killed and yet came back alive. And he not only came back, he came back to forgive Thomas's questions and Peter's denial. And if he'd been given the chance, even Judas's betrayal. This is when the Word of God, flat on a page or simply spoken, this is what it looks like in three dimensions. This is what happens when what was foretold on the flat page comes to life in human flesh. Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So there is more to this story than simply Jesus' coming back to life for those who already knew him. Jesus said, if you incorporate these words of forgiveness in your ministry, you have effected forgiveness for the other person. It turns into something far more than words, but a way of life in which you forgive people. And he has just demonstrated that he has forgiven those who doubted him in all forms. So this story of Jesus coming back to life is not only about how God is manifested in real, touchable, wounded flesh and blood in Jesus. It is also about how we manifest the presence of God in real, touchable, wounded flesh and blood. John's Gospel says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah." So, what did they not tell us about? And what are we called to live out in our own lives that was not specifically articulated in the scriptures? What is required in order to follow Christ that isn't outlined specifically in this book? Our collect, our gathering prayer today, urges us to show forth in our lives what we profess by our faith, and that showing forth comes in the actions we undertake in the service or detriment of our fellow human beings. If we do more than talk about it or read about it, the Word of God comes off the flat page and enters the three-dimensional service of God and God's people. We don't worship the Bible. We don't even read the Bible to find out how to love. We love to determine how to read the Bible. We practice following God in three dimensions. That is what the printed word is to guide us toward. That is all of what Christian practice is to be. As Jesus says in the story of Revelation, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." Of the two times I tried to take Biblical Greek, I at least know that those are the first and the last. Got that part. The rest was downhill. He is saying, I will teach you how to treat other people. And in treating them with respect and compassion, you yourself will find me more fully. It is Alpha and Omega. It is a cycle of proclaiming God and finding God and proclaiming God. New life begins for each of us when we choose to follow the eternal cosmic Christ. Words written on a page take on depth and breadth, and we find the beginning and the end, the goal of human life. The Word made flesh. If we are to follow Jesus, and we are to not only speak words of forgiveness, but to live them out, that gives us a new vision of what it means to follow and to be the church. It gives us a three-dimensional way to manifest the presence of Christ when we no longer have the person Jesus before us or beside us in human flesh. We portray this idea of being one body in the sacrament of communion. But we portray the essence of that communion when we're inspired and enlivened to be the Christ to another human being. Thomas had to see and wanted to touch familiar signs that it was indeed Jesus who stood before him. For Thomas, those signs were the wounds of Jesus and the voice of Jesus. For people not part of the Christian tradition, those signs that Jesus is actually here would be seeing a healing, forgiving, compassionate presence in other human beings. It is very valuable to memorize and study the printed word of God on those pages, and that printed word begins to reveal to us the nature of God. But it is only in choosing to act as Jesus did, by putting God and others ahead of ourselves, that we see God at work, real in the world. And at that point, we're no longer talking about words in print. We're talking about words come to life to heal and feed and shelter God's people. We have entered the place where words on a flat page come to life in three dimensions. Amen.